Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh boy. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. Happy to be with you this morning. Happy pre-Thanksgiving to you, Roger Davis.
And back at you.
One person texted in, said, fat shaming those poor turkeys is totally unacceptable. Yeah. That's a plump boy. 50-pound turkey. My goodness. Another person said, at that weight, must look like a Volkswagen Beetle with periscopes.
That's a good one. Good one. Yeah.
Thank you for all the text messages coming in, everyone that's going there. Can I tell you about the conspiracy my family has against me when it comes to Thanksgiving? I learned something new about my wife this weekend.
Yeah, sure.
We had the church potluck over the weekend, and this happens pre-Thanksgiving. It's wonderful.
Yeah, green
bringing
jello
the food.
Time,
right? Oh, so good, though. But it was Thanksgiving, so it was the turkey, it was the stuffing, it was the mashed potatoes and gravy, it was the green bean casserole, it was all the sweets, it was everything you wanted.
Wow.
And we're in line, and my son drops this on me. So the church provides the meats, like the main stuff, and then everyone else brings in the sides and the desserts. That's how it works.
Pretty much standard.
So my wife brought a tray of green bean casserole, like a lot of people do, because there's a lot of people that eat from it, so you need multiple trays.
Yeah.
And also, she brought in a pumpkin roll, which is, you know, a nice little dessert treat. You can slice it up.
Oh,
it's
man.
Easy to take out.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So we're in line, and my son says, Mom's pumpkin roll is really good this time. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, oh, she let me try it before we brought it to church. And I look at my wife and I said, you let the kids try the dessert before the church, the whole meal? The whole point is you bring it all and you share it here. You're not supposed to eat it before you bring it in. And my son says, oh, she always lets us do this. And I said, what? You're always taste testing the food before we bring it to a potluck or we bring it to a guest house? The conspiracy is that, Roger, I'm the only one that doesn't get the taste test.
I was going to say,
my
complaint would be, never mind the parish house, how long have we been married anyway?
Yeah. I mean, think about it.
This is the thanks I get.
you make a bundt cake, and you let the kids try it, but you can't let your husband, even though you can see there's a slice taken out of it. I never noticed. But the kids get to try these things, and I don't. I feel like the family conspiracy is just lined up against me. I don't know what to do here, Roger.
Yeah, there's not a right move you can make, no.
No.
That's the way it is with both family conspiracies, yeah.
I'm not someone that gets upset often, but if I walk into the kitchen and there's a mixing bowl that I could have licked in the sink, I'm like, honey, how could you not leave that out for me? I feel betrayed if you don't let me lick the bowl. If there's some kind of brownie batter or something in there that I could have just take a spatula or whatever and just eat up anything that was left over in that bowl. And that is such an enjoyable thing that every husband has a duty to do. But when that's taken away from me, I feel betrayed. This, I feel just as betrayed.
And, on a business note, I was just thinking your reference to the traditional green bean casserole.
Mm-hmm.
My thinking is that Durkee's, the makers of the canned crispy fried onions, I figure they probably sell 9, maybe 12 cans of that stuff every year on average, except come holiday cooking time. And the skyrocketing.
I love those
of the
onions.
Probably goes right through the roof. They probably live for those two seasons, Christmas, Thanksgiving. Yeah.
So I have like the leftover, and my family doesn't like those little fried onion things, the crispy onions.
Really?
So I was just eating them like a snack, and I said, honey, I should bring these into work. Like, these have a good shelf life. It's dry. I don't have to keep them in the fridge. I can just snack
fallout,
on them.
That's fallout shelter food. You can put that away.
Yeah.
Same half-life as strontium 90, I think, actually. Yeah.
She said, don't be disgusting. I said, what are you talking about? Disgusting. That is a fantastic idea, I think, for a snack at a desk. Can I tell you, talk about another story, unrelated, but you know, some people may think it's related, but it's unrelated. I was sent this yesterday. So the Greenville City Council passes the anti-camping ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds somewhat controversial because a lot of people, you know, it was a 4-3 vote, so a slim margin.
Narrowly passed. A lot of people complaining about targeting certain populations, et cetera.
Yeah, homeless people.
Yeah.
I have great sympathy for homeless people. I also have an understanding that you're never going to be able to solve homelessness no matter how much money you put at it, because some people just want it's sad to say, some people just want to be homeless. They want to have no responsibility to someone else, and that's the way they do it. Or they don't want someone to tell them they can't do drugs, or they can't do this or can't do that. And they find themselves in a situation where if they can't take care of themselves, this is their option to keep doing the other things that they want to keep doing. And it's I think, an unfortunate reality that you'll just absolutely never fix it, no matter how much money you throw at it. So there's always going to be homeless people, and they're going to have to go somewhere, and you have to find a spot for them to go. And if it's out of sight, out of mind, I'm fine with that. And I understand you don't want this turning into San Francisco, where there's just a camping out in front of public places and you don't feel safe walking in public because there's syringes and human feces on the ground. You don't want that. So I understand you have to do something. And I understand why it's controversial, but hopefully, does Greenville... I think the question is, what's the backup plan then? Where can they go if they have some of these public places taken away from them?
There is a large network of... alternatives for housing and for refuge, I guess you could say, to the extent, and I can tell you this from personal experience, one of my chores for many, many years was cutting the lawn at St. Andrew's Church in Urban Parish, right down there across from the downtown, from the stadium. And how many mornings I've gone down there, Saturday morning after Saturday morning, and found someone sleeping under the weeping cherry tree. Right by the parish house door, and startled by that, and of course always praying that they actually will wake up when I nudge them. But there and on the bench up front, right on, this is on South Main Street in Greenville, someone invariably asleep on that bench, over and over again. The other thing that actually extends from that is panhandling, sometimes fairly aggressively.
Yeah.
And Greenville has a problem with that. We found
panhandling.
We would found in their leavings, you know, the trash and stuff, bus tickets. This is a true story. Bus tickets and receipts from cities in North Carolina, Salisbury, Charlotte area. The story we got is that because of our generosity in alternative housing and feeding and so forth, our parish feeds breakfasts every Saturday morning, the reputation has grown to such that people get put on buses and shipped to Greenville, who otherwise have no visible means, as we once said.
You know, that seems to happen often, and cities don't want to acknowledge that.
No, can't.
And
no.
They very much do not want to admit that they're doing that.
Well, I have seen graphic evidence, I can tell you this.
Oh, yeah. No, I talk to people. They see it all the time.
Yeah.
I would talk to shop owners. They live in certain spots where the buses would drop off, and they're like, yeah, we see it all the time, even though the city won't admit to it. And the people that are sending them, they won't admit to it either. Police do it, too. Sometimes police will give rides, and if you catch them doing it, why are you out in a different city dropping people off in a neighboring city? And they'll say, Well, you know, they're homeless, sure, but they say this is where they wanted to go, and we're just trying to help them, like, as in they're not, like, randomly dropping them off in the city. So I'm a little skeptical in moments like that, too.
Yeah, my take on this is there got to be some place where sympathy ends and safety, security, and common sense begins on dealing with this problem. And the Greenville County Council, as you point out, by very slimmest of margins, believes they may have found it. We will see, of course.
Yep. Well, we'll have to maybe discuss this later, and we're getting a lot of people texting in, too. And I can take some of your text messages if you want to reach out to the show. Very easy. The text line is 800-905-0989. I'm on social media at Ryan Recker. And coming back after the break, a few other things I wanted to talk about. And there's a new feature on Twitter/X that I think is fantastic. We're going to talk about that, too. I think you really enjoy that. And joining us this hour he's a regular guest on Newsmax. He has a new book out, and he's also a host on a radio station in Los Angeles. I think this is going to be an interesting conversation with Judd Dunning joining us hour, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Oh, you know Judd. He's great.
Yes, and
he's
very
good.
I'll be a captive audience. Yes.
You're listening to WORD. Don't go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Where? This text message may be a game changer for me. One person said, the crispy fried onions are good on hamburgers, too. I normally make a turkey sandwich for work. Munster cheese. I used to call it flannel cheese because if you look at the ends of them when it's stacked up in a block, it looks like flannel. But I think I can probably put those crispy fried onions on my turkey sandwich. I bet that is going to be awesome. Thank you for that recommendation. Another one says, I can eat a whole can of fried onions. Good. I can too. Maybe not a whole can. I'd get sick after a while. But if you're looking for just like a quick thing and you're like, I don't want to do a spoonful of peanut butter, then maybe a handful of those crispy fried onions is the way to go. One person said, I worked downtown Greenville about a month ago. I went to go for a walk to get lunch on North Main Street. There were people literally sleeping on the walls. There was human feces on the ground. There was garbage everywhere. Another person texted it in, it's a nationwide problem. That's true. Another one said, if it is more attractive to be homeless to live in Charlotte or Atlanta, so be it. Make it less attractive to be here. Okay. One person said, did they find the hikers? Caesar's Head? Yes, they did. You know, I was going to talk about that later in the show, and that was one of the big stories yesterday, them finding the hikers. That was such a good story that the group of hikers were found safe. Let's put it that way. The 53-year-old and three children, the grandchildren, were in the woods hiking, got lost. They were found, so that's important. Another text message. Good morning, Ryan. I'm a paramedic in a large county in the Midlands, and the homeless use the ambulances as taxis to go back and forth between counties. I have never heard that before. Seems like that is a bad use of ambulances. If you have to pick up someone at a home and you're charging them $4,000 or whatever to give them a ride, and the homeless are getting it. You know who else used a ambulance as a taxi? If I remember correctly, it was Wells, who did the War of the Worlds broadcast and, you know, Citizen Kane. From what I understand, he found a loophole in New York City that said it's not illegal for you to put on your lights and use an ambulance like a taxi. So what he would do to get from point A to point B, because, you know, he was such a busy guy, is he would use an ambulance until they said, cut that out. You can't do that. Orson Welles, cut it out. So thank you for the text messages. I find that I want to go back to this drug thing. I mean, I think a lot of cities are finding it to be a bigger issue right now because of the fentanyl and some of these other drugs make it just so debilitating for them to live a normal life. And I think that's why it's important that the Trump administration is taking the flow of drugs into this country as an act of war. And that's why you see these boats and things that are trying to find ways to bring these drugs in is stop before they get here. And the strategy is, if you do that, you're going to save lives. You're going to literally save lives, meaning people are dying from this stuff, but you're also saving the life of the person that is going to be doomed to be slouched over on the sidewalk until they eventually lose their life in another way. They're there trying to make it look like they're touching their toes or they're walking around like it's a zombie movie. It's pathetic and terrible that we have allowed it for so long. And we can't just go around with like Narcan fairies going around spraying people in the nose or whatever it may be to revive them over and over and over again. Let's not do that. Let's stop the flow of these terrible drugs from getting in and use that as the ability to try to solve some of the other issues that we're having in this country. I don't see that as a bad strategy. So thank you for all the text messages that are coming in. And our producer, Tim, by the way, it sounds like, Tim, you are pumped for later tonight. It's the day before a holiday. Tim, are you off tomorrow for Thanksgiving, or do you have to come in?
I am. I'm off tomorrow and Friday.
Friday. So does that mean you're going to watch Stranger Things every episode that's being dropped tonight?
100%. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. You're addicted.
Yes.
So they're splitting up this last, is it the fifth season? And
yes.
They're splitting it up, and they're actually, the finale is going to be like a movie, and you can go watch it in the theater. Are you going to go do that too?
I may not do that. I might wait for that to come out, like just on Netflix. But if I have time, I might do it. I don't know, because I have to think about, you know, I got to take all my kids like it too. So I had to take everybody if I do that. And, you know,
how old are your kids?
9, 11, and 6.
All right, let's take the 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Your 6-year-old's not scared of this stuff? There's some pretty intense moments in Stranger Things.
My 6-year-old, she's the bravest little girl I've ever seen. Like, she is not afraid of any horror movies at all.
Yeah.
Like, she caught us actually watching It, and she came around the corner, and I don't know if you remember the scene in It where he's like waving with the kid's hand. You know, like waving at the other kids with it.
No, I've never seen it.
Bro,
but,
she came around to that scene and started laughing.
Oh, boy.
She is not afraid of anything.
You know, my stepbrother, so my wife's brother, took his 6-year-old to go see Deadpool when it was in the theaters.
Oh,
I said,
God.
What are you doing taking your kid to see Deadpool?
I wouldn't do that.
That seems not age appropriate. So I think Stranger Things, I don't know if that's age appropriate for a 6-year-old. That seems so intense.
She hasn't watched all of it. She's seen like bits and pieces of it. I don't let her watch like any of the gory parts or anything like that.
Oh, sure.
She does know who the characters are, and she, you know, because she hears her brother and sister talk about it all the time too, so.
Yep. Well, happy Stranger Things Day to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm
producer
excited.
Tim,
I can't wait.
This is what I hope for you. You get to watch it uninterrupted, and you get to enjoy every moment of it. Savor it without the kids bothering you.
I hope that
for you.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us after the break is host of Unapologetic with Judd Dunning. He hosts a show in Los Angeles, KABC, but he's also a regular guest commentator on Newsmax. He's an author. Great books out, too. Looking forward to our conversation with Judd Dunning coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD. Joining us now is host of Unapologetic with Judd Dunning, KABC in Los Angeles, also a Newsmax regular guest commentator where I saw the article. Judd Dunning, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
A great pleasure, man. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving indeed. My favorite of the holidays. By far, I love Thanksgiving. So Bill Gates, this is one of your articles, most recent. Bill Gates finally gives global warming the cold shoulder. It's kind of interesting, the idea that once you take some of these incentives away, the people that
benefited from the most start abandoning ship, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've seen the futility of so many different governmental approaches. And one of the darkest and most complex has been the green movement, the climate agenda, the globalistic technocratic application of taking our country and saying, well, if you don't support nature, shame on you, you're broken, come along. I mean, the pressure that you can actually use the bludgeon of, you know, being anti-Mother Nature. It's so antithetical to life itself, and it has so much power. It's been so manipulated, and it has such a long, a dark history now. But the truth is, you know, we've got an amazing resource-rich country and an amazing, vibrant economy, and, you know, the emperor has no clothes.
It's kind of interesting, too, and there was this great Rush Limbaugh bit. Oh, I miss Rush Limbaugh, but he did this one bit where he wore like every color ribbon on his shirt. And he looked down and he's like, I don't see any ribbons on your shirt. That means I care more about these things than you do. Again, it's virtue signaling and all these other things he was mocking. But that's what we see a lot when it comes to the environmentalists, so-called environmentalists. They find themselves, okay, a lot of it is just trying to fit in with the club, even though most of it just made up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting too, because then we have this heat around Candace Owens. But Candace Owens pivoted over to this guy, Gregory Wrightstone, who wrote Inconvenient Facts. And this man is amazing. He's been on our radio show so many times. And he breaks down, you know, how carbon is a positive, how carbon credits is all a shifting around of an economic system for power, for manipulation. And then over here, you have all these non-compliant countries. You have all that, you know, you see Trump pulling out of Kyoto. You see him pulling out of Paris Climate Exchange. And then if you really go deep to all the people that are environmentalists, there's so many different standards that I cover in my book, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal and How to Enlighten Others. In the book, we did this chapter on the big green elephant. And in it, there's amazingly intelligent people saying that, you know, that man-made climate change is a fallacy. That now, but here's the catch. So Gilder, I forget his first name. He was a supply side, George Gilder. Supply-side economist for the Reagan era, he wrote this great book, and he said, hey, here's the deal. He said, look at your black-and-white TV, look at the iPhone today, or AI, right? Look at the gap. It's almost quantum how we move through technology and the world, right? It's amazing how fast we've grown, how short. Well, by the time we innovate energy and solve energy, we couldn't affect the planet. We couldn't raise temperature, trillions of dollars, and that's what Bill Gates said. He said, hey, it's not affordable. We can't achieve it. And the truth is, we're going to liberate ourselves off of fossil fuels long before there's damage. And that's always been out there, clear as day. Mm-hmm. But they've, you know, we had AOC, you know, the Mensa genius of American politics, telling us that, you know, the entire world was going to be in massive crisis and, you know, and end in 10 to 11 years. I mean, it was madness.
While you're in Los Angeles, KABC, you'd be underwater right now if you listen to them in the mid-90s and some of the things they said. But, you know, it's so fascinating, too. Part of it is when you listen to some of the experts, and I think you make a good point of this, when it comes to true environmentalists, the ones that are trying to, you know, be good stewards of the land versus ones that are out there to just kind of take advantage of government money. So part of it is when you talk to them and they look at where we are today, they say, of all these trillions of dollars we spend, it would be much more pragmatic for us to, build seawalls so we don't have to worry about flooding in certain areas, as opposed to trying to incentivize solar and wind, which doesn't have the same effect. But you're going to be spending way more money on that for less effect than if you were to use it in some of these areas to prepare for some of the natural occurrences that happen in the world.
No, absolutely. You know, there was one of my wake-up calls was a documentary quite a while ago by a filmmaker who had death threats. This, I don't know, it's like 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And it was called Cool It. Do you remember that documentary, Cool It?
I do not.
It was a rationalist approach to climate change. And he's like, okay, let's eliminate some of the reflection. Let's take advantage of ocean power. And then he basically called the game. One of the things where I don't trust Elon Musk still to this day was, you know, he owned Solar City for a while. Mm-hmm. And Solar City I'm in real estate. We own a industrial, like 1.5 million square feet across the United States. So
So I've been in real estate for a long time as well. That's my other passion, capitalism. and you know, you could put, if you wanted to put solar on top of any of your properties so they could break even, right? Or a house, or someone's house. So you would sign like a $40,000 note, right? The government would subsidize the note, and then you would basically break even in like, you know, 15 years, but encumber your property with these finance structure and these solar panels that weren't ready and hadn't evolved enough to get to the level in order to actually do their job. But we were solar forward. So Elon saw that. This is one of his, you know, adventures. And then they ended up, you know, kind of retracting out of that situation. But it was the grand hustle. So everybody in the United States, oh, I gotta go solar. Why don't I get off the grid? It was impossible. The technology wasn't there. And that was a while ago. Here's another crazy fact. You know, when climate change PR first came to the system, who originally funded that climate change scare? And Enron. Enron,
really?
Did $5 million investment where they said we're gonna create a climate scare situation in order to work with their stock pricing and all of their agenda. So you can go right. I mean, we've had all this, you know, cooling, warming, all this rising seas. You know, polar bears are suffering, et cetera. There's so many real variations if a study of mine goes through. But it is as deep as, like, if you wanted to say, hey, masks might not work during COVID. Mm-hmm. You'd have to go 30 pages down the internet to find a study. It's like, yeah, these masks aren't actually effective. It was the same thing. It's become the same thing with this movement. The climate crusade was never about saving the planet. It was always about controlling people with fear. You know, environmentalism became Marxism with a recycling bin. Yes. And then people are like, oh, you know, people need to know CO2 isn't the original sin in carbon. It's plant food. It's healthy for us. So there's all these rationalist true points. Now, that being said, Republicans have always taken care of the planet with it, you know, with great and Democrats on both sides. There's rational environmentalism. So if you go back to Cool It, before Al Gore, before Oliver Stone, before all the hyper metastasized fear factory that came out of it, the same people are marrying the same truth. And the most important thing, I love this statistic. Go to NASA, they back the climate. Go to NASA's front page, and on their front page, all their studies have a disclaimer. Go there now. And it says that the climate varies by solar cycles. Mm-hmm. And they've proven this. We're this ball swirling around this big heat lamp that occasionally blows off our atmosphere. And there's variations with the flares of the sun that affect our cycles. And we're actually in a cooling cycle right now, and nobody wants to talk about it. So Trump, I have to tell you, you know, fake news is, I think he should have won the Pulitzer Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize for saying fake news, because everybody started looking more deeply.
I want to make sure people know how to find your book, by the way, because your article I read on Newsmax website, but 13 and a half reasons why not to be a liberal. Where can people find that?
Oh, thank you so much. It's on Amazon. So if you want to follow us, the easiest way to get to me is just Judd Dunning on X. So it's JudDunning, Judd Dunning. That'll take you to the Newsmax articles. And I just posted it on Thanksgiving. And there's an amazing history of Thanksgiving that most people don't really know, that if you want to enjoy that, I really enjoyed dropping that one last night. So X will take you everywhere else, but please sign up with us on Newsmax. Please buy the book on Amazon when you get a chance.
It's wonderful. And I got to say, happy Thanksgiving to you, Judd Dunning. So much appreciate you joining us.
Honor and pleasure. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD. Don't go anywhere.
And welcome back. Looking at some of the text messages, one person said, what's his name again? That was Judd Dunning, regular guest on Newsmax. You probably have seen him. If you want to look his book up, Judd Dunning is where you would start. Let's see. You know, it's kind of interesting, some things that are going on with AI. It says CBS News did the story. Trump signs executive order launching Genesis mission to expedite scientific discovery using AI. The executive order would accelerate discovery for the use of artificial intelligence, directing the Energy Department and its national labs to build an integrated AI platform using their existing and future supercomputers. Genesis mission is what it's being called. So when it comes to artificial intelligence, and at least on the government side, you know, there's a way that the government is trying to push this forward. And they're saying we need to regulate this on the federal level, not the state level. And there was some speculation that there would be an executive order signed to take away states' rights when it comes to artificial intelligence. There's a lot of data centers that are popping up across the country. What you find is Oracle, OpenAI, Meta, some of these places, they find farmland. They want to build these, you know, 300-acre site AI data centers. And the people that live close to these communities are very concerned, rightfully so, that it's going to mess with their water. It's going to mess with their electricity. When you have that much electricity demand going into a site, and when demand rises, but the consumption doesn't of the people around it, but the demand is higher, then ultimately the rates are going to be going up for everyone. So people don't want to pay higher electricity rates. They're afraid that these data centers may cause water issues too, based on the demand that it's necessary. There's just a lot of concerns around this growing infrastructure. So when you see things like the Genesis mission, keep in mind, part of that may be coming to a community near you as they try to deal with the storage and the servers that are necessary to run massive projects like this. And I don't know if you saw this too, but speaking of AI, there's been these AI music songs that have been topping the charts, and the current number one Christian artist is an AI artist. Solomon Ray is a quote-unquote Mississippi-made soul singer, and this AI song that someone put in through the algorithm is now the number one Christian song in the Christian radio charts. iTunes Top 100 Christian and Gospel Album of the Week. It's called A Soulful Christmas is the track. And we may have to play that coming up after the break, because I want you to hear what this sounds like. And it's just, there's a country song that made it to the top of the charts too. It's quite sad and scary, honestly. You're listening to The Tara Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on WRD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.